Hi everyone, we're still catching up on some of the parakim we missed over Rosh Hashanah. The parak for the second day of Rosh Hashanah was the 11th parak of Hilchos Tefillah Birkas Kohanim, and in this parak, the Rambam will go through the obligation to build a basic knesset, a shul, in every Jewish community, as well as some other details relating to this concept. Halacha Aleph. Kol makom sheish bo asar Yisrael, any place where there's 10 Jews, tzarech lahakin lo bayis, sheikansu bo letefillah, b'chol eis tefillah, u'makom zeh nikra basic knesset. They have an obligation to set a spot where they can gather for prayer, at every time when it is time to pray, and this place is called the Beis HaKnesses. V'kovim b'nei ha'ir zezeh livnos lehem Beis HaKnesses, v'liknos lehem Sefer Torah, Nevi'im u'ksuva. And the various people who live in the city are able to force one another to insist that they collect money and build together this shul, and also to purchase a Sefer Torah and a set of Nevi'im and k'suvim so that they can read from them. Lacha Beis. Kishabonin Beis HaKnesses, ain bonin osa el begava shalir. When you build a shul, there's a halacha that it should be built in the highest part of the city. Shneimar is about to say, Berosh homios tikra, at the very top of the public areas. Umagbien osa ad shteikvoa mikola chatzir osa ir. And we also build the shul up so that it should be taller than all the other various corridors of the city. Shneimar is about to say, Uromim es beis elokeinu, to make high, to uplift the house of our God. Ve'ein poskin pischei Beis HaKnesses el b'mizrach. And we have the doors open up for the shul in the eastern side. Shneimar is about to say, Achonim lefnei ha'mishkan kedma, because that's how it was done with the Mishkan in the Midbar. Ubonim bo heichal, shemenichem bo Sefer Torah. And you build what we call the Arun Kodesh. You build a special spot where you place the Sefer Torah in it. Ubonim heichal zeh, beruach shemespalin kenegdo bo sa'ir. And you place that Arun, that spot where the Sefer Torah will be held, in the location in the city where you would be facing towards Yerushalayim. So if you're to the east of Yerushalayim, so you would have it to the west. So that way you would be facing Yerushalayim. If you're to the west of Yerushalayim, you'd have it to the east. So that way you would face towards Yerushalayim. Indeed, as the Rambam concludes, Kadesha Yupneim el Mu'a Ha'echal Kishamadu L'Tefila. So that way, when they are facing in that direction, towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Yerushalayim, they'll also be facing this spot, which is holding the Sefer Torah, this Heichal, this Aron Kodesh. Halacha Gimel. V'amidin bima b'emsa bayis, k'dei sh'yale alah kori b'torah, omi asher omer la'am divrei kibushin, k'dei sh'yishmu kula. And you also establish in the middle what we call the bima, in the center of this area, so that the one who's reading from the Torah, or somebody who is speaking to the people, he's giving them rebuke, he's giving a drush, or whatever it might be able to hear the one who's reading from the Torah, the one who's giving them musar. And when they establish, they set up this table where they'll place the Sefer Torah on top of it. So they sit it up right in the middle of this upraised area, and they have the front of it facing towards the Aron Kodesh, and the back of it facing towards the people. And that way, you'd be able to have the Torah facing towards the Heichal when you read from it. Halacha Dalet. Ketzad, ha'am yoshim v'vatei kenetios, how do you have the people sitting in the shul? Hazakenim yoshim u'pneim klapei am. The elders of the people sit and their faces face towards the rest of the people. V'achoreim klapei heichal. And their backs can be towards the Aron Kodesh. This is as many shuls have nowadays, with the rabbi sitting up front and their backs towards the Aron, their faces towards the people. V'cho'am yoshim shur l'pnei shuro, v'pnei shur l'chorei ashura sh'l'pneha, ad shiu p'nei kol'am klapei ha'kodesh u'klapei hazakenim klapei ha'teva. The rest of the people are set up in rows, one in front of the other, one in front of the other one, and each one of the rows is facing forward. So the person in the back row is looking at the person in front of him, back of his head, and that one's looking at the person in front of him's back of his head, and so on and so forth. And they're all facing towards the place where the Torah is, towards the elders of the community, towards the bima, etc. U'be'esher shliach tzibur omeid l'tefila, omeid ba'aretz l'fnei ha'teva, ufanav l'fnei ha'kodesh kisharam. At the time when the leader of the congregation in the prayer is going to get up to pray, so he stands on the ground right before where you have this table again, this teva, this box, where you'll place the Sefer Torah on to read it. So he stands up there, and he faces towards the place where the Sefer Torah are kept, just like the rest of the people. Halacha hei. Bate kinesios u'bate medrashios nogin ben kavod mechabin osan marbitzin osan. Shuls and bate medrash, places where people learn Torah, should be treated with the utmost dignity. And we upkeep them, we clean them, we mop them, we sweep them, we take care of them in every which way. And the custom in all the areas where the Rambam was familiar with, in Spain, out west, in Babel, in Eretz Yisrael, all over, was to light candles, so that way you have these lamps lit so people can easily see it's well lit, and they also would lie on the ground, these different mats, so that way it would be comfortable for people to sit on them. And in other places, in more Christian countries, so they had the custom to sit on chairs. Bate kinesios, bate midrashios, ain't no giving behind kalis rosh, you go and soak, vihito, vasicha, tela. In a shul, in a vismedrish, we don't behave with lightheadedness, like laughter or other types of frivolity or inane conversation. All of that is avoided. Ve'ein ochlin behen. You don't eat in them. Ve'ein shosim behen. You don't drink in them. Ve'ein ne'osin behen. Ve'ein metailin behen. Ve'ein nechnasin behen. Machama b'nei achama. Kshama b'nei kshama. And you also don't use it in any way to benefit yourself. You don't take a stroll inside of it. You don't walk around and enjoy it. You also, even on a sunny day, can't enter a shul just to get out of the sun. Or on a rainy day, to enter the shul just to get out of the rain. You can't benefit from it at all for any sort of physical benefit like that. However, those who are the sages, their students, those who are learning Torah and are in the shul, the basement all the time, so then it's permitted for them to eat and drink there out of difficulty, because otherwise it would be very, very hard for them to be able to continue learning and not eat. You also don't do any sort of calculations in there. You don't do various business dealings. Unless it was a matter of calculating funds for a mitzvah purpose, can go in kubash and staka, but you don't shvuyim, such as the charity box that they'd have to distribute to the poor, or funds that they had gathered in order to redeem people who had been taken captive, and things like that. And you also don't eulogize in these places like a shul based medrash. Ela hesped shel rabim, can go in shiya shem hesped gedol lecham, may also ha'ir, shekola am miskapsin ba'in beglala. Unless it was a type of eulogy where it was all the great people in the city would come because it was somebody very, very special who had passed away. So then they would all be coming and gathering together. So then, under certain circumstances, you would be allowed to eulogize in the shul or the base medrash. Haches. How the base knesses or base medrash shnei psachim, if there are two doors to the base knesses or base medrash. Lo yasenu kapandria, kei sheikonis pesbachat zah, ve'yitik pesach shekenegdo, l'kariv haderech. You can't use it as a shortcut to go in one door and out the other door because it will shorten your distance from where you need to get to. You're not allowed to use that. Also, the Kohen's pen el environment, because it's forbidden to enter into these places. You have to realize that. It's forbidden to enter into a shul, race medrash, unless you're there for a mitzvah purpose. Halachatas. If somebody needs to enter into a shul to call out a child or his friend, he should go in and he should read a little bit, or he should say some sort of halacha, and then afterwards he should call his friend. In order that you're not entering into the shul for your own purposes only, but rather you'll go in there, you'll say a pasuk, you'll say a halacha, something like that. And if he doesn't have enough knowledge to be able to do that, Yomar Latino commands, no, goes, Krali Apasak Shata Koribo. So you can turn to one of the children there and say, read me the pasuk that you're reading right now. Teach me something. And that way you'll be able to have learned a little bit. Oh, Yishem Ad Bezek Nesis Vachar Yitzi. Or, at the very least, you just wait there a little bit and then leave. Shea Yeshiva Shem Itzke Mitzvosi. Shneemar Ashri Yoshe Besech. An amazing, amazing Rambam. He says that because even just sitting in the shul, as the pasuk says, Ashri Yoshe Besech, is itself involvement in the mitzvah, just to be there for that purpose of being there rather than just for your own purposes. That's why it's not a contradiction to what he said beforehand, that you're only allowed to enter for a mitzvah purpose. Even just being present and actually being present in the fullest sense of that word is something worthwhile in a shul, and therefore that can qualify when you don't know anything more to learn or teach at that time, so that can qualify as a mitzvah purpose. Halacha Yud. Somebody who entered to daven or to learn Torah, so then he's allowed to leave out of the more convenient door. He's coming from one direction, he came to shul and he was davening or he was learning, and then he wants to get out and go out the other door. He's allowed to do so, even though he's technically he's used the shul as a shortcut. His purpose wasn't to use it as a shortcut, his purpose was to daven or to learn, and therefore it's forbidden. It's also permitted for a person to enter into a shul with his staff, his shoes, his undergarments, like his undershirt, and the dirt that's on his feet. And if he needs to spit, he's even allowed to spit in a shul. Shuls or bate medrash, which were destroyed, still maintain their kedusha, their holiness. Even though I've destroyed your temples, your sanctuaries, the pasuk says, Hashem is teaching us that they're still called sanctuaries, even once they've been destroyed, and therefore they retain their kedusha. Just as we treat them with dignity while they are still settled, they're still used, they are also treated with kavod when they are destroyed. Chutz mikibud v'ribatz, then you don't have to sweep them, you don't have to mop them. That you don't have to do. That's going too far. You don't have to actually sweep them and upkeep them in that fashion. But otherwise, with regards to, let's say, how we speak there, or other things which the Rambam has described in this parak, that we must maintain. And if grass grows in this ruined shul, toshin osam, we pluck that grass, we pull it up, we uproot it. And we put them back down in their place. So we uproot them in order to make the point of treating it with respect, so that way it doesn't have weeds growing in it. But then we leave them in that spot, so that way the people will see it and they'll be more uplifted to go ahead and fix up this terrible travesty, to say this shul is lying in ruins. We should go and we should fix it. Halachi Beit. Ein Tolshin Beit HaKnesses K'dei Lifnos Acher B'mkomo O B'makom Acher. You are not allowed to destroy a shul in order to build another one in that very place or in another place. Avol Bonin Acher V'Achkach Tolshin Zeh. But you are allowed to build another one first and then destroy this first one. Why? Shemayar Lahem Ones V'lo Yivnu. Because the whole reason why you're not allowed to destroy that first shul in order to build a second one is because we're nervous that once you've destroyed the first one, maybe something will prevent you from building that second one, and then you'll be left without a shul. So then if you first build the second one, then you're allowed to go back and destroy the first one. Afilu Kotel Echad Menu Bona Echadash B'tzada Yashan V'achkach Sosra Yashan. Even if you build one wall from that new one, that's already sufficient, as long as you build that one wall next to that old one. So then you can go and destroy the old one, tear that whole thing down, and then you can go and continue to build that new shul. Halach Yud Gimel. Medrum Murim, when is this true? Shalom Harba Yisodosav, O Shalom Natu Ksalav Lipo. This is when the foundations of the shul haven't already been destroyed, they haven't been ruined, or its walls have begun to lean towards falling. Al-Im Harba Yisodosav, O Shalom Natu Ksalav Lipo. But if the shul is in a state of disrepair to the point where it's breaking down, literally. So then, Sosr Noso Miyad, we can destroy it immediately. Maschin Livnos Bimheira, Bayom of Alayla, Shema Titul Gasha, Yishar Chari. So then we quickly do our very best to rebuild it as soon as possible, day and night. We really work hard in order to prevent anything from preventing us from rebuilding it and it being left in a state of ruin. Halachi Yodal. Mutra Lasos Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash. You are allowed to turn a shul into a place of learning, a Beis Medrash. Al Beis Medrash, Asur Lasos Beis HaKnesses. But it's forbidden to turn a Beis Medrash into a mere shul. Shekdushas Beis HaMedrash, Yisayir Al Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, Umala Mekodesh Lo Moridin. Because the holiness of a place of Torah learning is greater than a place where people daven, and therefore you are not allowed to descend with regards to levels of sanctity of Kedusha. You're only allowed to ascend. And therefore, you can go from a shul to a Beis Medrash, but you cannot go from a Beis Medrash to a shul. And similarly, if you have people of a city that had sold a shul, so then they're able to go and use those funds to purchase a place to place the Sefer Torah on a teva. They sell that place where you place the Sefer Torah on top of it, so then you're allowed to buy things which actually adorn the Sefer Torah, such as the various things which tie it or adorn it by the dress on top of it, the bag that it's placed in. So, Machur Mitpachos, Otik, Lokim, Medabav, Chumashim. And if you sell those items, so then with that money, you're allowed to go and buy Chumashim, text of the Torah itself that's not written as a Sefer Torah. Machu Chumashim, Lokim, Medabav, Sefer Torah. If you sold those Chumashim, then you're allowed to use those monies to buy a Sefer Torah. Im Machur Sefer Torah, but if he sold the Sefer Torah, now working backward, Ein Lokum Adam of Ela Sefer Torah Acher, then you're only allowed to buy another Sefer Torah, She'ein Sham Kedusha Lamala Mekedusha Sefer Torah, because there is no level of sanctity higher than that of a Sefer Torah, V'chein B'mosareha. And the same thing is true also with regard to any leftover money that might have remained from the Sefer Torah. If you were able to get a new one for cheaper, so the extra money still has to go towards the Sefer Torah, it can't be used for other purposes. Halacha Tesvav. If you have a similar situation where the people had gathered money, they had collected money in order to build or to buy one of these items, so then they are not allowed to go and change towards something lower if they decide they want to change. You can only change it with regards to upgrading its level of sanctity. However, here, unlike a Sefer Torah, which was sold, as we saw beforehand, if they had collected money for a certain purpose, and they indeed did that particular purpose, let's say they wanted to buy the mitbachos for a Sefer Torah, the wrappings of the Sefer Torah, and then they have a little bit left over. So then, with that leftover money, then they could do whatever they want with that money. and all the various vessels of a basic necessity, any of the items, the chairs, the tables, the like of a shul, have the status of the shul with that regard. Parochas shel aron shemenichem bo asfarim, mitbachos asfarim. As for the curtain which covers up the aron kodesh, that within it you place the various svarim that you have, so those count as the mitbachos of the svarim, the special adornments which are placed around the actual svar. Vim hisnu alam harhein kifi hatznai. However, if you had stipulated with regards to what their status should be like ahead of time when you purchase them, so then it will go in accordance with what you had stipulated. Halachat zayin. Vamedrim amurim. When is this true? Shemutra lemakar beis haknesses. When are you allowed to sell a shul? Beis haknesses shel kfarim shelo asu oso el aldas bnei kfar levadam. With regards to a village shul, which was only created in the first place, on the condition that it would be fitting for the people who lived in that village. That the whole point was that it should be a place for them to daven there. And now if they change their mind, they want to sell it, so then they're allowed to. If it was for a larger city, not one of these small villages. Since it was built for the purpose of the whole entire world, not just the people that live there. That anybody who comes to this particular city will be able to daven there. Nasa shel kol Yisrael, so it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Very beautiful idea. Ve'ein mokhono sold olam, and you're never therefore able to sell it. Halacha yudzayin. B'nei ha'kfar sherutzu lemkor beis haknesses shelahen. If you have villagers who wish to sell their shul, o livnos b'dam of beis haknesses ach, or with its money they want to build a new beis haknesses, o liknos b'dam of teva, or to buy the place where the sefer Torah will be placed on, o sefer Torah, or a sefer Torah itself, tzirich la'as nos ala lokeach shelo laso so lo merchat lo borsaki. So then, when they sell this shul, they have to make the stipulation with the one who's buying it that he's not allowed to turn it into something which is degrading, like a bathhouse or a place where they would tan hides of animals. And the Rambam clarifies, that's what a borsuki is, the place where they tan the hides of animals. It also can't be a place where people will immerse, and it can't be a place where people will have a laundromat or the like. However, if the people who are in charge of the city, the official seven community leaders, decide amongst all the people in the city that when they sell it, that the person who's buying it is able to turn it into one of these things, so then he's allowed to. Halacha Yud Ches. And similarly, with regards to the leftover money, so if again these seven appointed officials of the city, in the presence of the people of the city, stipulate that the extra money can be used for any purposes, that they're considered mundane, they're no longer sanctified, so then they are indeed mundane. So then, when they gather together money, and the leftover money then, after they've used it for the purpose that it was collected for, is stipulated to be mundane, so then it can be mundane, and they can use it for whatever it is that they wish. Halacha Yud Tes. V'cheinim kiblu aleim kol anshei ir, o rubam, adam echad, kol ma'ash asa asoi. And so too, if the people had accepted upon themselves one appointed official, he's going to be the leader, he's going to have the authority for the whole city. So anything that he does is indeed done. It counts, it's effective. Who mocher v'nosein levado kifi mashir v'yasnek kifi mashir. And he has the ability to sell and to give in accordance with what he sees fit, and indeed that will work. Halacha Chaf. Kishem shemutra lahem limkor beis haknesses, kach nosen nosoba matan. Just as it's permitted to sell the shul, it's also permitted to be given away as a gift. Shilu lo hayo lahem latzibur hanoi b'matan azu lo nisanuhu. Because were it not for the fact that the congregation was benefiting in some way from giving this gift, they wouldn't give a gift. They don't just give away a free gift for no reason. They're obviously benefiting something, and therefore it's considered like a sale. Avloma askir noso, avloma ashkin noso. However, they're not able to rent it out, and they're also not able to use it as a deposit, as a security for a debt. And also, when you destroy a shul in order to rebuild it, so the same thing is true also with regards to their bricks and the wood and the dirt of them. So you're able to use it to give as a gift or to sell it or the like. But to lend them out, that's forbidden. Because they don't lose their sanctity. The sanctity doesn't dissipate from them unless it was by sale and they've received money for it, or for receiving benefit, which is in some way equivalent to receiving money. Halacha Aleph. Rechova shel ir, the public square of a city, afal pi sheha'am mispalin bo betanios b'amados, mibnei shakibatz rav, ein batei knesios mechinen osan, even though sometimes people would gather there to daven when you need a whole large congregation and the shuls aren't able to fit them. So, nonetheless, ein bo kedusha. Nonetheless, they don't have sanctity. Mimnesha hu arai v'lo nekba l'tefila. Since it's only something which is temporary, it's on a very rare basis that they would actually pray in these places, and it hasn't been designated as a place of tefillah. Very relevant nowadays. And also places, homes, and courtyards where the people gather together for prayer. They don't have sanctity. Because they haven't been set for tefillah alone. It's something which is very temporary, it's transitory, it's something like an individual just dominating his own home, that doesn't imbue it with the same Kedusha as a base Knesset. And therefore, we don't have to abide by the same standards of Kedusha as we would in an actual shul. A very, very important parak, one that people aren't often well aware of, the intense degree of sanctity of a shul. We have to be very careful how we behave in a shul. We have to make sure that we respect it as is fitting for the makom where we come to daven, for the makom where Hashem resides. Have a wonderful day.